Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. And I'm here with my co-host today, Dave Allen, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. And it is Friday, March 23rd, 2018. TGIF, Dave.
Happy Friday, Melody. Boy, the world is a-hopping out there.
Yes, it is. And I'll tell you what, the markets, they're thankful that it's Friday. So they could. I wouldn't want to be in paper this weekend. I've said that a couple times in the past, but certainly is the last hour of trade. Markets certainly have come undone. So I want to get started right away and get into the market report. We've had two great days for gold, and we've had gold up another $20 today at $1,348. We have actually it's up 1920, 1348. The high was 1351, so off a few bucks on the high. Silver was up 18 cents today at $16.62. Platinum is up one at 953. Palladium was down eight at 972. The USDX today was down 0.37 at 89.45. Crude oil was up 160 at 65.90. And really don't have any comments on any of that, really. The Dow, the dollar, if it breaks down into the 88s, and it might just do that come Monday, we'll certainly see. I think gold could be a gangbuster come Monday. Let's go ahead and get to the paper markets today. You have the Dow down a little over 1.75%, down 424 points, 23,533. The NASDAQ is down 174 points. That's 2.5%, just about, at 6,992. And the S&P followed suit a little over 2% to the downside, 55 points at 2,588. And the 10-year yield, 2.83%, euro stronger. And Hong Kong was down, Japan was down 4.5% overnight. Took a beating last night for Japan, 4.5. This is the first time I've been able to look at the, you know, this happens a lot. I get busy during the day and I don't get a chance to look at the markets. And sometimes when I sit down to do the program, it's really the first time I've seen the world markets. Again, I tune in at 3 o'clock. The Dow was only down, it was down like 20 points in the futures contracts. It was nothing big. And so I thought, oh, it's going to be another ho-hum day. They'll probably bring back gold somewhat. And that's how kind of how it traded in early morning trade. But I didn't see Japan getting beaten down 4.5%. Hong Kong was down almost 2.5%. Germany was down just the same as the U.S., which is I find interesting, 1.77%, a little over 1.75%. And, you know, I often talk about the fear and greed index. It's not the same as the VIX, but it is, you know, how they calculate. They use, we all know emotions is driven by, you know, fear and greed investors. And that's how they, but they look at seven indicators. They look at stock price momentum. They look at stock price strength, stock price breadth, put and call options, junk bond demand, market volatility, the VIX, and safe haven demand. It's the lowest I've ever seen it today at seven. So it's kind of interesting to see that extreme fear greed, the extreme fear is hovering that low. So,
yeah, at the same time, the VIX volatility index is just a tad below 26, up roughly 10% today alone.
Yeah, so now we're beginning to see action because, you know, we saw these trends. We saw the fear and greed index at low levels, but we really didn't see any action in the markets to support being at those lows, and now we are. And particularly with the Dow being down the 500 points basically for 2 days, so 700 yesterday and so forth. So, and you know, we get kind of excited when we see pressure on the stock markets like this, because we know how bad gold has been beaten up over the past years, and they suppress gold, they manipulate the price of gold. So, you know, it's, we do get excited when we see the price of gold moving higher. So it is a safe haven. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit, Dave.
Indeed. Indeed we are. You know, with the Fed's latest monetary policy decision now out of the way, market observers are saying that geopolitical uncertainty and the threat of a global trade war is going to drive gold prices in the coming weeks. Now, not only did the Fed disappoint U.S. dollar bulls when it signaled only 3 rate hikes this year at its meeting this week, but monkey-see-monkey-do tariff threats between China and the U.S., pushed gold higher this week and has reminded us what a safe haven gold is for investors. And up more than 36 bucks this week, as of the end of trading today in the paper markets. The precious metals market is seeing its best weekly gains, Melody, in almost 2 years. April gold futures were trading at $13.49 an ounce, up 2.9. From last week. That's the futures market. And silver's lagging just a little behind at 1.9% in the futures market. That is up around $16.58 an ounce. This week saw the gold-silver ratio, too, hit a new multi-year high at 81.50. Points. The ratio's historic average is between 50 and 60. We're going to be covering that in a future blog on our website at dgscoins.com. But turning back to gold for a moment, as a senior currency strategist at DailyFX.com, Christopher Vecchio, who says that a perfect storm is brewing in the marketplace now that's going to drive gold prices, in his words, definitely higher. He said conditions are in place for gold to be a favorable asset for the rest of the year. He said, I'm looking for prices to break through 1400 by mid-year. Melody, that we might even be slightly more optimistic than that. What's finally going to drive gold prices even higher than they are now?
Well, you know, he said breaking through 1400. He didn't give a cap. He didn't say that's it's going to reach 1400. And I agree. I mean, I think we're going to break it. We're only 50 bucks away from 1400. And I think I'll tell you what I personally believe. But you have the announcement of Bolton replacing McMaster's. You have the tariffs. You have the Fed hike. You have inflation pressures. You have the debt, you have the falling dollar. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. And I believe personally it is going to come back. I mean, all of these, I mean, they're all coming together. But I really do believe the main thing is going to be the debt. I mean, the spending bill. I mean, doesn't anybody get it in 6 months? It was $1+ trillion. 6 months. We're going to be deficits $1 trillion a year from now on till it goes to $2 trillion a year, and that could be next year. and the confidence. Look at the, I mean, we all know a fiat dollar is based all on confidence around the world. Yeah, we might not like it that you know, we have all our manufacturing left and so forth, left this country, and our jobs was sucked out of this country. But on the other hand, we do have the world's reserve currency, and you know, it's all based on confidence. And we see that eroding, particularly with what's going to happen on Monday with China. So where do you start? You have the Fed's policy decision this week. They're projecting growth at, 2.7%?
Yeah.
They see the unemployment rate dropping to, you know, below 4%. So that's a lot of optimism. But the Fed left its inflation forecasts unchanged. So, you know, how does that So I don't see gold rising because if they're looking to see its inflation forecasts unchanged. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, and they're only going to do 3 rate hikes this year. So I don't think the Fed, what they're doing, has any impact on, I don't think, on gold at this point. You know, disagree with me if you think that's the case, or you know, not disagree, but, you know, tell me what you think if that's... but I don't think that's where the main pressure is coming on the markets and on gold. There's analysts that are talking about gold being the being looked at as a geopolitical risk hedge instead of the traditional inflation hedge. Gold was always a geopolitical risk hedge. That was one of the reasons you bought gold, in addition to the inflation hedge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know they're you know trying to steer it in one direction. You have the CME chairman Duffy, almost a year ago, a July interview, he said gold should be trading between $5,000 and $6,000. And that was part of the geopolitical scenario that, in addition to, you know, the debts and so forth of around the world and how these world economies are basically being managed, and structure is about ready to collapse in so many of these areas. So certainly there's various reasons. And again, I think, too, people we're finally seeing gold rise, as we should, with all these various reports and scenarios that are going on, but you know, they're still going into bonds too, so wait till they stop going into the bonds, and then that money is going to really start coming into gold. And this gentleman from Adam Button, he's from the Forex Live, he says if tensions ease, gold loses a chunk. I don't buy that anymore. But if something does happen, if a trade war or a real war is triggered, then gold's upside is unlimited.
Oof.
Unlimited.
Yeah, be prepared, ladies and gentlemen. Melody, Mr. Button also said, you mentioned as well, that the appointment of H.R. McMaster as the new National Security Advisor, John Bolton, adds additional credibility to the rhetoric coming from the White House. Bolton, as some listeners will know, is known for his hawkish views on North Korea and Iran, particularly the U.S. nuclear agreement, which I'm sure he's going to have a really strong voice on in the coming months. Now, Button said, interestingly, the gold market has been hesitant to rally on bluster, but this isn't just bluster. Nominating people like Mike Pompeo, and John Bolton is action, and the market is massively underpricing the geopolitical risks.
And you know what, and he's absolutely correct. It is action, but it's frightening action.
Yeah.
It's a scary action. And personally, this is my own personal little conspiracy theory, but they're usually right. But anyway, I see it as you see this kind of like, I don't know if it's like a triangle. You have the United States. You have Kushner in there that's dealing with Israel in there. You have the Saudis visiting D.C. Was it this week or last week? It was this week. You have Netanyahu. He's, they're after him for, corruption and everything else. And, he always had an agenda to eliminate Iran. Iran has an agenda to eliminate Israel, and you're seeing these relationships that are being strengthened. So you have Israel, you have the Saudis, you have the United States, and now you're bringing in Bolton, and it's you have Pompeo, and to me, gold will be unlimited to the price where it's going. And but that's my little conspiracy theory. Israel is pushed for time because he's running out of time. And but Anyway, it is a frightening situation. You know, we thought it was serious with North Korea. You know. Yeah, I don't know. I think Iran is a bigger... well, we'll see where it heads, but I'm not quite sure. But it is certainly an unnerving. And I think that is part of why gold is rising also. I think that is very important because I do think the market is now factoring in a war. Not the trade wars, but war.
Yeah. Well, as Einstein once told us, for each action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Yeah.
We certainly see that unfolding with China. And I mean, it's just beginning to play out. We'll talk a little bit more about that later in the show. But we're seeing it again and again all over the world. And you know, it's a miserable week for the paper markets, great week for gold, and some of the other precious metals. The tech sector in particular was hammered on the paper side, led by Facebook's privacy scandal and data that showed European growth was sputtering. Traders had already been bracing for the possibility of slowing expansion, as you know, the Fed commented after its interest rate hike on Wednesday. And so now, you know, it's all bets are off. I mean, there's a tug of war between Fed tightening, fiscal stimulus in Congress, strong earnings, but you know, slowing sales, and now the tariffs, potential trade wars, and as you mentioned, Melody, you know, the possibility of something far bigger, that is, you know, an actual military confrontation brewing.
I don't see I don't see the tariffs as a really big deal, because it really doesn't involve that much money. Now, if people But, and I think these are just little baby steps to see what actually happens. I mean, China says, oh, we're going to come out and penalize you for $3 billion. That's pocket change in today's world. 50, 60, we don't know exactly all the items that the tariffs will, you know, be play on the Chinese products coming into this country, you know, all the ones and how much and so forth, you know, up to the tune of what, 50, 60 billion dollars. They initially started out, I think, at 100. So, you know, they lowered that. So, you know, and again, our, you know, so we don't know, you know, the real impacts, but the one impact that we do have is we're heading into a break, and I can't change that. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cedarstrom with Dave Allen, and we'll be back in just a few short minutes.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. It is Friday, March 23rd, and of course, gold had a great day. We're looking at gold up another 20 bucks today, at 1,348. In the past 2 days, the Dow has dropped 1,100 points. A little over 1,200 points. So big moves in 2 days, and we haven't seen anything yet. 1-800-375-4188. We have the $50 face value, 90% silver. We have dimes in right now, and that package was increased to $665. Remember, today's spot was $16.62. When I initially priced that at $650, silver was like at $16 and, you know, 25 cents, somewhere around that level. So I had to make the adjustment on the dimes. So 90% silver, dimes, $50 face value, brilliant uncirculated, $665. If you purchase two packages, you'll receive free shipping. 800-375-4188. Visit the website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for a weekly newsletter. We kind of all over the page a little bit today, ladies and gentlemen, because there's so much going on and everything is so related. So we'll start talking about, you know, one thing, and then I have a tendency to get on one of the topics that got us there, and then we're going to come back. And so you might find us going in and out of some of these topics, and because they're all connected. And something interesting last night, you know, when I talked about the foreign markets, Japan's market down. So big overnight, China actually intervened in their stock market because of a fear of the trade wars with the U.S., and it actually sparked the steepest intraday sell-off in 6 weeks. We had the state-backed funds bought large-cap stocks, including China Petroleum and Chemical Corp. and China Life Insurance, intensifying purchases in the afternoon. Both shares erased losses late in the trading session, while the large cap, the CSI 300 index, paired. China's so-called National Team of State Funds, it's kind of like our plunge protection team.
Ah, yes.
So China has one of those too, the National Team of State Funds. They have a long history of smoothing swings in their country, $7.7 trillion stock market. And of course, when do you see the most action coming from their plunge protection teams? On days that are down really big. So while the interventions are meant to, of course, protect individual investors and prevent excessive volatility, let the markets just do what they're supposed to do. Critics say government meddling creates more hazard and undermines official pledges to move toward a more market-driven economy. And of course, that's what we've been saying here for years and years and years. But ever since Reagan, when he, after 1987, and he did the the financial, not the working group, but it was fondly tagged as the plunge protection team. But
Melody, I'm sorry. I'm picturing a group of people in, not sure what kind of hats they're wearing, but they're wearing very dark sunglasses, and I'm picturing a curling team with their brushes. They're instead of brushes, they're plungers, and it's a scary thought.
Yeah. So, plunge protection team. All righty. Thank you for that.
There you have it.
Yeah, thank you for that vision. All right.
Hey, it's an Olympic sport. You gotta, you know, it's competitive out there.
Yes, yes, it is. Earlier, we talked a little bit about the spending bill, and you know, I'll let you talk a little bit about that. But you know what? It really did irritate me that he did a fake veto. He pretended like he wasn't going to sign it, and then he did. And I'm thinking, what was that all about? And is that why the markets dropped to the point that they did? You know, his attempt not to sign it. Maybe he had good intentions. Maybe not signing it, and the markets began to drop. And then he went ahead and signed it, but you know, they didn't recover. So not sure what the fake. You know, the fake veto was all about. Personally, should have been vetoed. I believe it should have been. I mean, you know, they get 2,200 pages, and this is what he talked about when he did his press conference today. He talked about the 2,200 plus pages that they get, you know, what, 1,000 minutes prior to voting on it, and those people don't have enough to say, hey, we need more time. You know, you just gave it to us, but no, they just go ahead and vote on it anyway. And same with the Senate, you know. It's just like, but anyway, it's, you know.
Well, that's one of the reasons they have what's called technical corrections bills. Because over the next few weeks, you know, as, you know, member staffs mostly start getting into the details of this omnibus spending bill, they'll find some things that, you know, of course, there'll be some things that really do need technical corrections, but there'll be other things that clearly weren't intended by a majority of members in both houses, and you know, those things will be included in the corrections bill. Now, you know, in a spending sense, it'll be interesting to see if those corrections add to the $1.3 trillion or if they'll actually subtract from it. But you know, we know that you know, the president in his tweets this morning was posturing about this bill's lack of a solution for DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, for the 800,000 or so dreamers, the immigrants who I think had until March 5th for Congress and the president to put a new a law together to clarify their future in the states. But you know, it to me that part of it seemed disingenuous. Like you, Melody, I'm skeptical of you know, just the timing and just for his public posture, you know, toward a possible veto anyway, when, you know, you just can't imagine, and unless he thought there was going to be some political mileage out of an actual shutdown, knowing that, you know, most members of both parties had left for their homes and wouldn't be around if he had vetoed. And so there would have been at least, you know, a weekend or more of a shutdown. We just live in very interesting times.
And, you know, again, this is election year. And I'll tell you what, all those Republicans that voted no or voted yes, they should be voted out. And people should take the time to look it up, who voted yes, and vote them out. You know, because everything that the Republicans supposed to stand for, and yeah, we know they're rhinos and everything, I get that, but everything that they're supposed to stand up for, they just didn't bat an eye. Planned Parenthood. Hey, let's just keep, you know, You know, they couldn't do anything on Obamacare. They couldn't do, and it's all about elections, ladies and gentlemen. It's this year. And so, you know, they just, you know, Ryan and McConnell, they lie. You know, and you see the two Democrats, they were giddy. Supposedly this bill was mainly put together by the Democrats. If you read it, it sounds kind of like that way. And then the one thing that was important to them, DACA, it wasn't even there. So it doesn't even really even make sense. And supposedly it was all for defense spending. You know, we're supposed to be bringing troops home. You know, we're not supposed to be building up. Why, what are we building up? And then we get the hawks in there.
Apparently we're,
like Pompeo,
we're building a wall.
You know, so it is, you know, we didn't get anything for the wall. So, you know, it's, and come Monday, what is going to be the next thing in the news or everything is going to be focused on? So all of this isn't. Oh, I know, it's going to be Stormy's interview come Sunday. You had President Trump eliminated his top attorney. So, I mean, it's just like, I try to look at the positives, but I'm having a hard time finding them. One thing that I did promise, last year I said we'd see a lot of action. This year I said we'd see a lot of volatility. And I think that's kind of exactly what we're getting. And we'll just have to see. The Dow was actually down 1,400 points for the week. Trade, let's move on to trade. Yeah, the conflict between China and the U.S. that sort of escalated also today. Beijing announced its first retaliation against the metals levies hours after President Trump outlined fresh tariffs on $50 billion of Chinese imports and pledged there's more on the way. China unveiled tariffs on $3 billion of U.S. imports in response to steel and aluminum, and the White House then declared a temporary exemption for the European Union and other nations, focusing on China. Although Beijing's actions so far are seen by analysts as measured, there may be more to come. Yeah, $3 billion's a drop in the bucket, you know. But
yeah, there will be more to come.
But let me put it this way. But we saw that China had to go in there and support their stock market overnight.
Well, and
now that stock market could have been more in relation to the trade tariffs than our markets, I believe.
Oh, clearly.
So China will have to fight that, but I'm not so sure. China's money doesn't go into their stock market. They'll try to keep it from bleeding, but they're not the same as our politics to Wall Street. I don't think they have the same connection.
Oh, they're fundamentally different.
Yeah.
In the way they operate, and just the nature of their government, their style of government. But we'll also see, and we'll talk more about this in the next segment when we talk about what the Chinese will be laying out on Monday, and how they're dipping into their own stock market, could play a hand in how skeptics view what their announcement will be. And I'm sorry that we'll get to that, so we can explain what I'm talking about right now. But when we saw, after China unveiled their tariffs, the stock markets from Tokyo to Germany tumbled, and European equities fell to their lowest in more than a year. Suppliers to Apple were among the hardest hit in Hong Kong and on mainland markets today, as investors focused on potential losers from this growing trade fight. In a ramping up of his America First mantra. Trump said yesterday he had ordered these tariffs as recompense for alleged intellectual property abuses. Clearly, a major issue that we do have to find a way to work with, particularly the Chinese. They're not the only one, but apparently the largest by far, who are making companies who do business in China provide these otherwise trade secrets to the Chinese as an explicit condition for the right to do work there. So that'll be interesting, Melody. I mean, they also announced tariffs, China, that is, announced tariffs on imports of U.S. pork and recycled aluminum, steel pipes, fruit, and wine. How dare they? So, you know,
that's okay. More for us.
Well, this is true. This is true. I guess it depends which we're unloading over there.
Yeah. But, you know what I also did hear that I think possibly because of the coming from the tariffs from this administration, which is a good, you know, that China was going to eliminate those regulations for the intellectual property theft that they've, you know, basically been doing, that they weren't going to require that anymore. They were also going to make adjustments on taxes also to keep the what they have there and maybe to entice more. So I think that's another way that China will be fighting against the tariffs is, you know, eliminating their regulations and so forth. But if they eliminate their regulations, they're going to also have to pull out of the climate accord, because if they want more business and as much pollution as they have, they're not going to be able to meet any of you know, the requirements needed to follow through on that. So that'll be interesting too. China might not pull out of it, but they just won't follow through with, you know, with the requirements from them. So anyway, so and it was just a little sidetrack there, but
go ahead. No, I'm just gonna you go first.
Go ahead.
Well, you know, I was just gonna say that one of the consequences of this we'll call this first or second round of blows back across the oceans has been China announcing again that it's not going to rule out the possibility of scaling back purchases, future purchases of U.S. treasuries in response to the tariffs that that we imposed. Their ambassador, China's ambassador, that has said, we are looking at all options. That's why we believe any unilateral and protectionist move would hurt everybody, not just China, but the United States itself. You know, many listeners know China is America's biggest foreign creditor. As we've said before, it holds over $1 trillion in treasuries as of January, about 19% of all foreign holdings of U.S. government securities. And yeah, you know, we've been telling listeners the U.S. can't afford right now to see weaker demand for our debt from its major buyers, especially with the budget deficits rising this year and in the future.
We're heading into a break. We're there.
Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. 90% silver dimes, brilliant uncirculated, $665 for a $50 face value 90% bag, and that's a great little package. Two packages get you free shipping. 800-375-4188. And let's go ahead and you have to have your brevity is golden, Dave.
Melody, it's time for our weekly segment. Now in its second month, called Brevity is Golden. South Korea says it's trying to stop a culture of working overtime. South Korea has some of the longest working hours in the world. Government employees there work an average of 2,739 hours a year, about 1,000 hours more than workers in other developed countries. In the U.S., it's somewhere between 1,820 and 2,080. The so-called shutdown initiative in the Seoul metropolitan government is set to roll out across three phases over the next 3 months. The program begins next Friday with all power to computers turned off by 8 p.m. And the second phase will start later in April, with employees having their computers turned off at 7:30, that on the second and fourth Friday. And then from May forward, the program is going to be in full swing with all computers for all employees shut off by 7 p.m. every Friday. According to a government statement, all employers will be subjected to the shutdown, though exemptions may be provided in special circumstances. And in that regard, over two-thirds of government workers have asked to be exempt from the forced lights-out program. Oh, my. Earlier this month, South Korea's National Assembly passed a law to cut down the maximum weekly working hours for government employees to 52, down from 68. Melody, it looks like productivity abounds in South Korea. And I sure hope, for the taxpayers' sake, all those workers are salaried. That ends another segment of Brevity is Golden. Melody, back to some more serious stuff.
Well, that is kind of interesting. It really is. Now, is this just within businesses, or is this?
No, I believe I believe this program just affects its government employees.
Government employees.
Yes. Yeah. It's not. I believe it's a purely.
We'd never have that problem here. I don't think our government employees would ever work.
Purely.
60 hours a week. can't even get the politicians to.
Well, they must feel they lead by example, I guess. I don't know.
I haven't heard one guy. I don't know, some congressman or something. I don't know who he was. He was complaining because they were working too many hours. Yeah, but in the spending bill, they certainly gave themselves a raise.
Yeah. Well, remember too that our system of government and campaign financing is so dysfunctional that, I mean, some of these, particularly first and second year representatives and senators, are spending close to 50 50% of their time raising money. Yeah. I mean, that's nuts.
It is. It's crazy.
You know, so, well, it says a lot of things, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Well, don't get me started.
Tell us about the countdown to the next coming of gold and silver, please.
Well, you know, we have the on the 26th, March, Monday, China is going to begin their UN-based crude oil futures contract. And so I thought you were going to explain a little bit about that, Dave. So it is coming, and it could have a major impact. It could be it could mark the beginning of the end of the U.S. dollar. Well, the U.S. dollar was actually the beginning of the end of the U.S. dollars when they turned it into a fiat currency.
March 1971.
But this is the next beginning of the end, the second tier. But would be all positive for, of course, gold and silver.
Well, listeners, Monday, March 26th, as Melody said, another day which will live in infamy. Well, that's how China would have it anyway. That's the day China is going to release its yuan-based crude oil futures contract, as Melody said. It's going to set in motion a series of events that some believes ends with the demise of the U.S. dollar and the rise of the yuan as the world's foremost currency and the foremost exchange in global trade. Now, you know, the yuan's been around for 2,000 years, and it's considered to be the world's first system of metal coins and banknotes. But at a minimum, China's move is going to shake up the world's largest commodities market. You know, most, it could result in a new world order with realigned trade and military alliances that could leave the U.S. playing catch-up for the first time in our history. The launch on Monday will mark the culmination of a half-decade-plus push by China to create Asia's first own oil's futures benchmark. And it's aimed at giving the world's biggest oil importer, China, more clout in printing and pricing crude that's sold to Asia and the rest of the world. You know, it will potentially give the Shanghai International Energy Exchange, which is going to operate the new contract, a share of the trillions of dollars each year in oil futures trading.
You know, we've been hearing bits and pieces about this for a couple of years now. What's it all about?
Well, you know, in a nutshell, Melody, Asia, China in particular, has become the world's biggest oil-consuming region. And China really hopes its own crude oil contract is going to better reflect market conditions in its part of the world. Yes, size and control does matter when it comes to oil. You know, the two most active oil futures contracts in the world today are the West Texas Intermediate contract offered by the New York Mercantile Exchange and the Brent contract offered by the International Exchange in London. WTI futures are an important part of oil prices in the Americas, North, Central, and South, while Brent crude plays a critical role in pricing for Asian, Middle Eastern, and European crude. And most physical oil trades globally are hedged using these two derivatives. And China just wants in on the action, Melody. China's yuan-based futures contract, which will be open to Chinese and overseas investors, was originally going to be rolled out 6 years ago. But it ran into delays as extreme volatilities in China's stock markets and other commodity futures raised concerns about the Chinese ability to handle significant turbulence in their markets. And while the new contract will be quoted in yuan, the exchange will reportedly accept U.S. dollars, but only as collateral. And that's going to open the way for non-Chinese companies, you know, from ExxonMobil, BP, and Aramco to participate.
So the contracts are sold in their currency, but the exchange will take dollars as collateral.
As collateral. Yeah, it almost, you think, compromises the potential effectiveness
yeah.
For them. But I wonder if that's just going to be sort of a phase in, and that at some point it'll, depending on who gets in, particularly if the Saudis do, then, why have the dollar at all from their vantage point?
Well, I would also see it as a, even if they use the U.S. dollar as collateral, that's interesting. That's interesting. And
where are we gonna go?
Well, I was gonna go. Wouldn't that give China a little more control over the dollar? Because,
I have to think that through.
That would be a way for them to eliminate some of those dollars that they're holding. I don't know. Yeah, I have to. Think that.
Intuitively, that makes sense.
So, and it's interesting that 6 years is it took them, how long to roll it out, and we've certainly seen in the past few years the dollar getting strong. I don't know. It's kind of interesting, but I would think that they would have a little bit more chrome. We'll have to maybe dig a little deeper in that. But with all that said, and as I agree, it should affect the dollar. Correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the launch of the yuan oil futures is going to be a big wake-up call for traders and investors, particularly those who haven't been paying attention to these plans of the Chinese to create the petro yuan and shift oil trade out of petrodollars. China took its first major swing at the petrodollar 3 years ago. Gazprom Neft, which is the third largest oil producer in Russia, decided to move away from the dollar, choosing the yuan and other Asian currencies instead. Iran followed that same year, using the yuan with other foreign currencies in trade, including Iranian oil.
China has also developed its ambitious Silk Road project that same year, didn't it, Dave?
In 2015, yeah, you're correct. I mean, just as the yuan was starting to establish more, call it ascendancy in the European markets, I mean, the Silk Road project, also known as the Belt and Road Initiative, that's China's long-term vision to build and modernize roads, bridges, sewer and water systems in countries throughout most of Europe and parts of the Middle East and Asia. But the U.S. petrodollar still had a fighting chance then, because China's oil imports were all over the place, varying widely from month to month. No more, though. Stability has begun to reign. And although the petro yuan is not expected to immediately replace the petrodollar, the world's top oil importer launching a crude oil futures contract in its domestic currency is a big sign, a clear sign, that the Chinese want to play a pivotal role in global trade, starting with oil.
And it could be signs that we're seeing this country as they're trying to protect the petrodollar. And I think that's a lot of the things that we're seeing, the reactions, the changes, that could be a part of it also. And there are some observers believe that the success of the yuan oil contract depends on how the Chinese decides to regulate the market.
Apparently so. Major intervention by the Chinese could deter international investors, like those from the U.S., but more so from Europe and even Saudi Arabia, from bringing large volumes into the contract. Others believe that while it makes sense that the world's key oil importer launches, oil futures in its own fiat currency, it's going to take years probably for the yuan to seriously threaten the superiority of the petrodollar. Perhaps. But perhaps not. If there's a sudden and major rush from all over the world, and we don't know how this is going to pan out yet, I'm sure there are going to be a number of economic and political considerations for these countries. I mean, this could happen sooner, and the impact could be larger than analysts initially are thinking. But it also brings home this particular piece, what we were just talking about, China intervening in its own stock market. I mean, this has been the one concern, and one of the major reasons for the delay over the last couple of years for its implementation was just, you know, countries like ours just being wary of the Chinese tendency to, you know, get in and manipulate its own market. So
yeah, but that isn't new. I mean, all of our country, even ours, we manipulate our own markets and everything. But you know, it's interesting too, is I think, you know, I mean, I believe in tariffs, and again, I get in trouble when I'm trying to talk about tariffs. People think, well, you know, you don't believe in them and so forth. Well, I do. I get it. But on the other hand, you see, when you talk about how the world could react to rush over to this type of a trading function, based on how are they going to be impacted with the tariffs disputes. I mean, yeah, I mean, tariffs are great, but we have to admit it, it's disrupting business as usual, and therefore there is fallout. So we don't know where all that fallout is all going to, you know, send their money to. And they might just say, well, you know what? You know, the U.S. is in so much debt, they can't do anything anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we don't want to deal in the petrodollar anymore. And let's go to a new source.
Well, we're going to see it. Certainly, if it works, we're going to see the dollar weakened a lot further.
Significantly. And I hear the music, and we are out of time. It was a great show today. I appreciate each and every one of you listening to Financial Survival. We'll be back on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless. Thank you, Dave.
Bye-bye.
That's too bad.